Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God, and it is always a great word. I just want to say, get ready to pray. Keep Mother Valerie lifted in your prayers. She's a little under the weather and will not be with us for the rest of the week, but God willing, she'll be back on Monday. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning with hearts filled with your spirit, God. I thank you, Lord, for another day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I ask you, Lord, please keep Mother Valerie covered in your loving wings, Lord God, as you heal her body, Lord God, from a cough and a little cold, God. We're asking you to watch over her. Keep her strong. Keep her covered, Lord, in warmth and in love by you, God. And Father God, we ask you to cover all sick and shut in. We ask you to cover those that are the weather and those that need you to keep them covered at all times, God. We all need you to cover us at all times, God. We ask you, Lord God, to heal bodies, minds, and spirits, Lord God, as we pray against division and against chaos and against those that will cause confusion in our world, God. We pray for unity, God. We pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray, Lord God, that we will be united in love and in spirit, God, that we will have hearts to take care of those that are in need. Lord, I pray for homeless. I pray for the houseless. I pray for those, Lord God, with children that are struggling, God, with mental health issues. Lord God, I pray for the family of the young man killed in Wichita, Kansas, by his mother. I pray for families that are dealing with grief and ask you, Lord God, to cover them with your grace, giving them strength, God, in the midst of all that they're going through. Lord God, I pray for churches and ministries this morning. Lord God, that the enemy is attacking pastors, attacking members of churches, God. Those that confess their faith in Jesus Christ are under attack. But God, we know that the enemy is repelled by the blood of Jesus. So Father God, I lift up this morning, this word as it goes forth, Father. I ask you to increase as I decrease, God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And again, Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you for another day. I pray, Lord, that we will not waste it, that we will not throw it away. We thank you for your grace and your mercy towards each and every one of us, God, as I lift up every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over them, to keep them also covered by the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, Lord. And I ask you, Lord God, for any tongue that want to speak against them, that you, Lord, will close them and put those tongues back behind the teeth of those that want to speak negative of your people. We ask you, God, for covering in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is our strength, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is so very good. And I am just so very thankful to be a child of the Most High God. As we go into this 31st day of January, can you believe this month is almost over? Wow. One more day, and we are in a new month. Thanking God for this month. Thanking God for taking us into another year with one month almost finished. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. This morning, we are in Exodus chapter 11 and chapter 12. Psalm this morning is the 18th Psalm, verses 1 through 12. We are in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And we are finishing up the book of Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 34. And our title this morning is coming out of the 18th Psalm, and is "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And as we know, we are dealing with the children of Israel and God getting ready to do a miraculous thing in freeing them from bondage. And we are in our last two. Oh my, they are rough. They are rough. These last two plagues. The one is dealing with the firstborn. Wow. So let's get into our word, because God is about to deliver his people. He is about to be that rock and that fortress, cloud. Fire by night. As Aunt Andrea Johnson and Donna Lord sing, "Lord, deliver me," because we all know that sometimes we are our worst enemies. But in this case, God is not playing. And I'm sorry, we are in our last plague. Mother Valerie read the second to last on yesterday. So we are on the last plague. They have been through some stuff. They done had bloody water. They done had flies. They done had bloody water, frogs, flies, locusts, boils, darkness, hailstorms. Let me think, get it all right. Heat. They done had it all. And you're like, can we go through anything else? Oh, I forgot lice. They done had lice too. They done had it all. Locusts. And now we are about to have the death of the firstborn child. And the word of God says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I will go out of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all those, these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of the land. Chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house, on the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. No matter of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep his service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. They were obedient. They were obedient. What God said do, they did it. When he said, take that lamb, kill that lamb, firstborn, pretty much, unblemished. That you got a first year, I should say, not firstborn, first year, male, without blemish. The lamb of sacrifice. And we are so blessed that Jesus died on the cross as the Lamb of God for us. And as we continue in this word this morning, it says, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry, but there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, and you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. But they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their nodding bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sychar, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them, also in flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked 11 cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. Can I say it again? 430 years from Jacob bringing his 70 children, 70 family members of Israel. 70 came 430 years before. 430 years. 70 people. And now it said how many was coming out of there? How many? 430 years came to pass. On that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance of all the children of Israel throughout their generation. Six 600,000 men on foot from 70 in 430 years. That's just the men, not the women, not the children. 600,000 men on foot besides children and women. Even though it doesn't give the women, it just says the children. But we know the children wouldn't be there without the women. Come on now. And then it tells us, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is brought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and waits to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Hallelujah. And as we go back to Exodus chapter 11, verse 3, Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. When we do what the Lord requires of us, God takes pleasure and causes even our enemies to show us favor. Oh, I'm sure they was ready for the children of Israel to be gone. To be gone. Because you think about this. You done dealt with flies. Flies. You done dealt with everything you can imagine. You done dealt with that. You done dealt with bugs. That's what I say. That's just what gives me bugs. You had lice. You had flies. You had locusts. You had frogs. Just, yeah. You know, you done dealt with all kind of things. But the life in the flesh, that would have been just too much for me right there. Yuck. So I would think they would be like, oh, y'all ain't got to go, but y'all got to get out of here. You have got to get out of here. Dealing with that. Uh-uh. You got to go. Got to go. Here, you can take this. Here, let me give you this gold bracelet off my arm. Ooh, wait, let me give you these rings, and let me give you this silverware. Let me give you this. Go, goodbye. Let me give you some clothes. Here's some clothes for you, too. You know, oh, and here's 5 pairs of shoes. Take them with you. You know, come on now. You ain't got to go, but you got to get out of here. And it goes on to say, it is the Lord's Passover, Exodus 12 and 11. The Passover lamb symbolized the work that Jesus Christ would finish in his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. And as we get into our psalm this morning, word we have. It is sealed up. And it says this, Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 12, for those that have just joined us this morning. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who spoke to the Lord, the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Again, David, descendant of Jacob, descendant of Israel, descendant of Abraham, dealt with the same kind of stuff, running from an enemy. The Israelites, the Hebrew children, ran from Pharaoh. David, running from Saul, who lost his anointing because of disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, strength, in whom I will trust. In you, Lord, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. My cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked, were shaken, because was angry, went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down with darkness under his feet, and he rolled upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds bathed with hailstones and coals of fire. Clouds by day and fire by night. The Lord is with us wherever we go. And as we go into answers to some life questions, and it says in Psalm 18, 1 through 6, if you feel hopeless, we've all been there, helpless, all been there. I don't know anybody who have not felt hopeless are helpless or powerless at least once in their life, unable to deal with people or problems, and on the verge of exhaustion. Take heart in the prophet Habakkuk's staring conclusion to his short book, knowing that a savage army of Babylonians would soon plunder and pillage his homeland. Habakkuk recited a litany of probable destruction. Times would be hard, food would be scarce, and agrarian culture's source of income would soon dry up and blow away. Habakkuk chapter 3 and 17. Yet despite this disheartening scenario, Habakkuk penned an amazing response. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Habakkuk 3:18 and 19. Where did the prophet find such hope in the face of such terrible calamity? But one thing, clearly, he has been spending time in God's word. His expression of faith closely echoes the words of David, uttered centuries before. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 18, 2 and 3. For another thing, Habakkuk had been spending a lot of time alone with God. His whole book is a record of his extended conversation with the Creator about the way the Lord does things. Habakkuk did not always or particularly like what he heard from God, but he recognized that the Lord knows what he's doing, and so he chose to place his trust in him. When the outlook looks grim, Christ is your strength. When the circumstances seem volatile, Christ is your stability. When the future appears foreboding, Christ remains your hope. The strength of Christ is both exhaustible, inexhaustible, and immeasurable, and it is yours to receive. Praise the Lord, saints. God delights in upholding the weary and reviving the faint-hearted. Isaiah 40, 29 and 31. Your reservoir of your emotional and physical energy may feel nearly drained, but God's supply of spiritual stamina never runs out. Come to him and his word for the strength to carry on, and he will supply the power you need to traverse the rough terrain ahead. That's his promise, and God always keeps his promises. Psalms 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. We are wise if we fill our minds with many graphic images of who God is for us, our rock, fortress, our shield, our stronghold. How do you best like to think of him? What is he to you? Woo, gracious God. And as we go into our psalm this morning, what a word in our psalm today. What a great word. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. What a great word. Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you become surety for your friends, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the land of your friends. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like gazelles from the hand of the hunter. and like the bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, don't go signing anything. Don't be surety. Don't be a co-signer. Don't do it. When it comes to that, will you help me get a whatever? Will you co-sign with me? Your answer should be no. No, I cannot do that. And even if they look pitiful, look sad, look like you were their only hope, they need to take it to God. Take it to the throne, not to the phone, because my answer is no. Why? Because God said so. Don't be a surety. Don't be usury. No is your answer. I cannot. And as we go into Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 34, and we will have a couple of life lessons from this chapter. Again, who is in charge of our life? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We are delivered by the Lord our God. And all we can think is to say, thank you, Lord, for being the rock and my fortress, for covering me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. We got to tell God, thank you. Now, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Whew, Jesus said, I'm not over the seating arrangements. That's my Father's, but we are being my Father's house. Come on now. I'm not able to do that. And he says, and when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentile Lord is over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Where was it? As we talked about the landowner on yesterday, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You got to remember that. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, as they went out of Jericho, followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, Lord of David. The multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still, called them, and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I once was blind, but now I see. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus gave them sight. And as we continue to say it in our life lessons from Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Christian leadership is never about exercising power over someone or putting someone in his or her place. Whenever it comes to that, the Christian element has vanished. Christian leaders are always servants first. Say it again. Christian leaders are always servants. Chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus paid it all for me. He paid it all upon the cross for you. He paid it all. No one mistook Jesus for anything but a leader, and yet he came to serve right up the time he performed the ultimate service by giving his life so that we might not have to die. Jesus gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. Why? Because he loved us just like that. He loved us more than anything. We are special. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. You can say his thank you. Tell the Lord thank you this morning. Tell the Lord I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed to be your son, to be your daughter, to be your friend. That is all I have as far as word this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak, now is the time to push the 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597. We are going into a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Sister Carolyn's word came a little bit late yesterday after we had did our blog today. We will be going into the word from Carolyn from yesterday and today. And I always know that whatever the word is, it is meant for when it is given. And the word for yesterday was, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Have a tell it to God Tuesday. What did David do? On yesterday, it was a prayer. Our psalm was a prayer from David to God. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. Woo! Come on now. Speaking. And letting them know he prayed. And Sister Carolyn. Again, 213-943-3597 is our call-in number. And we want to make sure you tell it to your friends. Tell somebody. You know, again, David prayed. He prayed to God. Even in our word for this morning, David was praying. David was allowing us to know that he had gone through some stuff. You know, he said, you know, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the word of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemy. On yesterday, David prayed. On today, he wrote a song to commemorate the Lord hearing his prayer. As he said, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. And then he said, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. David was like, even if I die, I want to be with you, Lord. And then it goes on today. Again, we're dealing with deliverance. And Sister Carolyn comes with, God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Again, they did not give up. When Moses came, come on now, turning water into blood. First one, what did he say? Throw down. They threw down their little staff when he threw down. And what happened? Theirs came into a big snake and ate up their little ones. God didn't play that. You know, you can do just so many things, magicians, but you can't do everything. And Moses and Aaron did the will of God. And it was no joke. They did what they were supposed to do, and they did it well for the Lord. And we got to do what we are supposed to do, and we got to do it well for the Lord. As Sister Carolyn said in her word, God has a purpose for your pain. The children of Israel went through some stuff. You know, come on now. We're not going to provide you any straw. You got to get your own straw. You got to get your own stuff. And you can't flack on the number of bricks that you make. And if you do, we're going to beat you. Does that sound familiar? You know, there's a painting of a slave, and his back is all whipped up. I mean, he has more whips than back. And they have it as a picture. It's a classic slavery picture. And I believe Will Smith played him in one of his movies. And it goes on to tell us, it says, a reason for your struggle. Our ancestors went through slavery, went through the struggle and the pain of seeing loved ones lynched, loved ones murdered, children taken and given as bait to crocodiles so that the owners can make alligator and crocodile clothing and garments. Come on now. But God delivered us as God delivered the children of Israel from bondage. And it says, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. And even with whatever you're going through today, whatever you're going through tomorrow, that was a word for me. Don't give up. You may see a mountain of things you got to do, but don't give up. Don't give up. We cannot give up. And when things get hard, when things are easy, in your good, in your bad, in your ugly, pray. I was able to make it to prayer service yesterday, and it just did something to my spirit to lay out prayer shawl. And I just laid out and spent some time with God. And it almost lost track of time, actually. And I just thank God for the time that we spend with him. This morning, I was privileged to be on a prayer call before I came on with you. And it just did something to my spirit. It made my voice clear. Just made me feel better. You know, we've got to pray. Prayer changes all kind of things. Trust God. Love God. And believe that God can change it. He can take and make the crooked path of your life straight. That is all I have this morning, family. And there is no one that has pushed that button. No one that listens on media has called in, and we are about to wrap it up. So again, I thank you, thank you, thank you for those that joined me this morning. You are appreciated. And again, please take care of yourself. But there's only one you. So as we go forth, as we wrap it up in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for another day. Thank you for coming in and increasing as I decrease. Lord, again, I ask you to watch over and bless Mother Valerie. Take care of her, God, and keep her covered under the blood of Jesus. And Father God, as we go out this morning, I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee, and one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, family, I pray over you and yours, those that live alive and those that live later, that the mighty God who we serve, who has delivered us, who has been our rock and our fortress, that he will keep us covered under the blood of his lovely righteous wings. In the name of Jesus, Father God, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, family. I got to go because I got to go to work. Got to pay this bill. So thank you so much. Be blessed and know that you are a child of God covered by the blood of Jesus. Have a blessed day and know that God loves you and so do I. And there's nothing you can do about it. But love God and love me too. Be blessed. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Time to go. Got to go to work. Love you all. And again, please keep the Valerie in your prayers. Thank you so much. God bless you. Love you, Aunt Rita. God bless you.